SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 7th of April, 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 1.7% to a four-month high. We'll have the details with Kai Chen from MPC Markets in a few moments as we go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News, including a warning from super funds. That's coming later in the show. But first, electric vehicle sales have reached a milestone in Australia as petrol prices continue to be near record levels. The Australian Institute of Petroleum says the national average for a litre of unleaded fell 13 cents last week to around $2.40, and that includes a partial impact of the government's cut to the fuel excise. But the petrol price is still around 40% higher than before the war. It contributed to a rise in EV sales in March, according to the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries, where nearly 16,000 were sold. So are we at a turning point for the sector? To find out, I spoke with Tony Webber, the chief executive of the FCAI. Tony, first of all, to what extent are EVs or battery-powered cars becoming increasingly popular in Australia?
Well, last month we saw the record ever sales of EVs, which they hit 14.6% of the total market. So they've grown very quickly, very dramatically, since we've had the increase in petrol prices across the country.
So do you think this signals a structural shift?
Well, only time will tell. The early signs, obviously it's healthy to make this movement, but whether it's structural or whether it's short-term and a reflection of increase in petrol prices is something to be seen. But what it does show is that increase in EVs is more about demand than what it is supply, because the supply of vehicles, there's about 100 different EVs in the market in Australia, still remains there, but the demand has gone up very dramatically, very quickly.
What do you think needs to happen to see this take-up rate be sustained?
I think with the growth in EVs, what we will require is an increase in public recharging infrastructure. Now, there are areas where it's commercially viable to provide that, but there are other areas where it's not commercially viable, but important that they're put in place. And I think that's a role for governments around Australia, both at the Commonwealth and state and territory levels.
What kind of battery-powered vehicles are in demand at the moment? Which ones are Aussies attracted to?
Yeah, full EVs is where the real growth has been in the last 2 months. They're now at 14.6%. Plug-in hybrids have also grown quite dramatically off a smaller base. They're just under 8%, and just normal hybrids at around about 17%. But I think the important thing is you put those numbers all together, and 40% of sales last month or some form of low emissions technology.
And finally, does it matter where they're made? I mean, I'm assuming we're seeing a big rise in cars coming out of China. And I think BYD for the first time has become the third most popular brand in Australia in a month. But we've also got these EV luxury car tax changes coming out of the Australia-EU free trade agreement too.
So I think most Australians are very open to what they buy, whether it's their mobile phone or their vehicle. They buy what they think is the best quality product that meets their needs. And yes, a huge proportion of pure battery EVs come out of China. Last year, it was about 80% of all sales in Australia of EVs were made in China. The changes to the luxury car tax out of the free trade agreement with Europe that was announced in the recent weeks, that will increase that luxury car tax threshold from 90,000 to 120,000. So it really only affects that more top end of town vehicle. Most mainstream EVs sold today are below that price, so consumers won't see any substantial change.
That's Tony Webber there, the Chief Executive of the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. Yeah. Let's go to the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 finished 1.7% stronger. That's a four-week high. That's ahead of Donald Trump's Iran deadline later tonight. All 11 sectors finishing in positive territory. IT the best, led by NextDC following a funding deal. Materials and the banks also did very well today. The oil price at $111 per barrel. The Australian dollar at 69.2 US. For more, I spoke with Kai Chen, the head of investment at MPC Markets. Kai, so a strong start to the week for the market. What's driving investor sentiment?
Yes, so we saw a bit of a rally last night in the US market, and it's carried over to the Asian markets today. We're seeing the ASX 200 go up about 1.5%. It's led by a lot of lithium stocks, as well as just, you know, in general, a bit of a recovery overnight.
How fragile, though, is this recovery that we've seen today and sentiment overall? We've seen the index dip today from its high peak as US futures pointed to a weak session later tonight and as we edge closer to that Trump-Iran deadline.
Yes, no, absolutely. I think this rally is a little bit deceptive because we are, you know, it's going post by post at the moment. Of course, we're seeing Trump release some of the posts over the weekend. But, you know, in reality, I don't think we're any closer to a deal. So the market's had a bit of a relief rally. It might be getting ahead of itself, but we will know by tomorrow, hopefully, unless the deadline changes. But I think the market is in wait-and-see mode until tomorrow.
Any company news you're following?
Yeah, we saw a pretty strong rally out of Guzman Gomez this morning. They released their earnings. It was a lot better than expected. They saw their sales actually go up quite substantially compared to forecast because of the partnership with Uber Eats. So, you know, it's rallied about 18% today for Guzman and Gomez. Telix, which is a biopharmaceutical company, it's also released very positive data in terms of their sales growth. That's also recovered quite a little bit from the lows.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now, given this environment that we are in, and do you still see opportunities for investors?
Absolutely. I think at the moment, you know, conservative is good. We want to be in, you know, some allocation of cash. You know, the initial rally, of course, presented good opportunity for the oil market. We're seeing WTI oil reach $116 today. So a lot of the LNG gas, say Santos, Woodside, you know, they've all performed exceptionally well. But I think really the inflationary pressures is what we're looking at in the medium term, because once, you know, the oil shock has moved out of the market, the story is really going to be inflation, and we're pretty bullish on precious metals as well as defense stocks.
That's Kai Chen there, the head of investment at MPC Markets.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Superfund members are being warned they may miss out on any market upside if they make any sudden changes to their investment strategy. Supergroup Hester, which has more than 1 million members, has seen a 37% increase in the number of visits to its investment pages, along with a rise in the number of people switching from growth to more defensive options like cash and term deposits. Most of that switching happened on the 9th of March, when the ASX 200 had its worst day since April 2025. But the index has risen around 1.5% since then. For more, I spoke with Hester Head of Strategy, Kim Farrant. Kim, what kind of activity have you seen from members since the start of the war, and how does it compare with more normal times?
Thanks very much. So we've seen a clear spike in engagement. So we've seen more members visiting our investment webpage, joining through their online accounts. And we've seen those joins go for up from 45,000 visits in February to more than 60,000 visits in March. So around a 37% increase over that period. At the same time, we've also seen daily investment switching from our members also increase between that February and March period. So they're not sort of at record levels, similar to what we saw around COVID, but we are seeing levels just slightly below what we saw a year ago with the US tariff announcements.
In terms of switching, where are they switching their investments to? How is it being done? And is it, for example, going from high risk to lower risk?
Yeah, the clear pattern really is a flight to safety. So members who are switching, they're predominantly moving into more defensive investment options. So that's options like cash and term deposits. And that's a really natural human response to uncertainty. But it also carries a real risk in terms of missing out on investment returns.
Yeah, let's go into more detail about those risks. Why is this of concern? And doesn't it really depend on where, I guess, the investors or the fund managers' stage of life is at?
So it is important to think about any member's, I suppose, stage of life and really what they're looking for in terms of investment returns and risk profile. But switching to defensive options during a downturn can really lock in losses and mean missing out on the recovery. This is really significant, particularly for our members. 80% of them are women, often working in lower paid HACS roles, and they've taken time out of the workforce. So they don't have as large a balances as maybe some other Australians. And so it's really important that they don't miss out on that recovery when it comes later. So our data through COVID in 2020 illustrated this really well. And we saw that a member, say, with something like a balance of $100,000 who switched from our balance growth standard option to cash and then took a year to switch back could have been more than $20,000 worse off just 5 years later. So it's certainly one thing to de-risk when there's uncertainty in the market. But often we find it's much harder for members to decide when to reinvest back in those standard or sort of normal risk profile options as well. And that's really when they risk missing out on long-term returns.
What do you think this says then about the way investors and fund managers are feeling in this volatile environment?
Yeah, I think it really shows that what our members have told us in the past. So it bears out sort of in the real economy. Our member survey from September of last year found that 43% of members said they'd be more likely to monitor their super balances during volatile periods. And really that's exactly what we're seeing now. Members are clearly more engaged and concerned, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's important that that concern drives the right sort of behaviours and doesn't lock in the sort of poor long-term returns. So we'd really encourage our members to look out for sort of good information, have a look at things like our website. We put out a lot of information that talks through the current environment and how they can think about that. It's also really important to know that we've got a whole team of investment professionals who are really experienced in investing through these periods of volatility in order to provide resilience to investment portfolios. Our investment teams are closely monitoring the developments so that we can manage those emerging risks and really take advantage of new opportunities.
That is Kim Farrant there from HESTA. She is the head of strategy. And that wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. If you enjoyed it, give it a like or a review and subscribe. And don't forget you can watch the On the Money segment during the 6:30 edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. See you then.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.